The tangled mess that is the Middle East in the years since the Arab Spring has got a whole lot messier. Syria's ceasefire lies in tatters. Its largest city, Aleppo, is under bombardment from government airstrikes and rebel shelling, all of which has left more than 200 people dead in just 1 week. Meanwhile, in Iraq, a state of emergency has been declared in Baghdad after protesters stormed the fortified Green Zone, demanding sweeping political reforms, all in the face of a paralysed government struggling to tackle a dire economy and to battle ISIS. And to underline the crisis there, overnight two suicide car bombs killed at least 32 people in the city of Samawa, also claimed by ISIS. The Islamic State, of course, is finding new footholds in Egypt, Libya and Afghanistan, as state control crumbles in those countries too. George Joffe is Professor of International Studies at Cambridge University. George Joffe, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Thank you.
If we can just take Syria first, the US Secretary of State John Kerry is in Geneva to talk with the UN, Jordan and Saudi Arabia on how to try to de-escalate the fighting around Aleppo and to somehow revive the ceasefire. Is there any chance of success at this stage? Any signs of that?
Well, it depends, I think, largely on what the Russians themselves and the Assad regime want to do in Aleppo. It seems as if they want to isolate the city preparatory to trying to take it back under government control. Once that's done, they'll certainly be open to any discussion of a renewal of the ceasefire. And indeed, the Assad government has already tried to begin a partial ceasefire around Damascus and in Latakia province 2 days ago. So not everything is lost yet.
No, not everything is lost. But while that, as you say, that partial ceasefire or the regime of calm, as I think it's been described by the government, around Damascus and Latakia, but then this full-on assault on Aleppo, which from, according to reports, targeting all sorts of people. I mean, it's the defence from the government and the Russian government backing them is that they're targeting ISIS and other rebels, but in fact they've been seem to be targeting medical centres, hospitals, and a number of civilians killed in these raids.
Yes, well, the answer I think is really simple. Until they recapture Aleppo, the Assad regime can't claim that it's actually succeeded in restoring its power inside the country. It's now very close to that target. There's only one road out of Aleppo left open to the opposition. And in a sense, what the government wants to do is to seal that off. And once it's done that, then it'll be open to discussing ideas of a truce. And so in a way, they're in a hurry to achieve that before they have to begin to discuss with the Americans the way in which an effective truce can be installed.
So when Russia and, well, Syria and now Russia say the negotiations are taking place to establish a regime of calm also in Aleppo province, you're saying in a sense, well, are you saying that's a holding pattern until they absolutely conquer Aleppo and then they'll be happy to have a ceasefire?
I don't think they're going to actually wait until they conquer Aleppo. That's going to take a long time. What they want to do is to isolate it, to make sure that the population inside and the forces opposed to them no longer have an access to supply routes. And when that's done, then they'll be prepared to discuss a truce. And of course, the intensity of the attack is the indication of the urgency of achieving that, because they know in the end they're going to have to discuss with the United States and also with the other groups ways in which a ceasefire can be installed. And they want to advance their position as far as possible before those discussions take place.
So what's the next move here? John Kerry is in Geneva. He's speaking to others about trying to settle things down. He's making all sorts of, you know, threats, I guess. But we have Russia on one side, the US on the other. How is this going to be resolved in the short term, which means a ceasefire, and not to mention the long term, which is getting all the players back around the table?
Well, I don't think that Mr. Kerry will be threatening anybody. And the reason for that is that the United States, together with Western powers, lost control of the situation inside Syria a long time ago. And they now know, since the Russian intervention a year ago, last March, in effect, they've now got to work alongside the Russians. So in a sense, the Russians are in the driving seat. As far as the Saudi government is concerned, or Qatar, or Turkey, they're side players. They're really only bit players, partly because the Americans won't provide them or allow them to use the arms they would like to supply to their clients inside Syria. And the purpose of Mr. Kerry going to Geneva is to try to make sure that those states don't disrupt the potential negotiations that were taking place there and that they wish to restore too quickly.
It's 22 past six. Our guest is Professor George Joffe, a Middle East expert from International Studies at Cambridge University. George, meanwhile, there is a hell of a challenge, in a sense, going on in Iraq to the government and the Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, the protesters storming the Green Zone, storming, occupying the parliament. I mean, they're now moving out, as I understand it. The US Vice President Joe Biden is pressing Iraq not to let its crippling political crisis upend the hard-fought gains against the Islamic State group. What is the what's at risk here, and what is at play here? In a way, could the protesters be helping the Prime Minister?
Well, in a way, that's what they would like to do. The issue inside Iraq is corruption. Corruption combined with the calamitous fall in oil prices over the last year. Some $300 billion have been spirited away through corruption over the last 10 years inside Iraq. And everyone knows it. And the protesters, who are organized by a particular movement led by Muqtada al-Sadr, a well-known cleric, are really saying, we want this sorted out. Now, Mr. Abadi's job was to try to do that. He promised that he would. But he's not been able to persuade the parliament to accept the technocratic government he wants to bring in. And that's because most of the parliament and the other ministers have got their hands in the corruption pie. And that means that him advancing that agenda has proved to be very difficult indeed. So in effect, what they're saying is, hurry up and do the job. Now, at the same time, the Iranians are by no means certain that they want to see Muqtada al-Sadr dominating the political scene. And they're mobilizing their own allies inside Iraq, mainly amongst the Shia groups there, against him. And that explains why it is that some of his demonstrators are now withdrawing. But the issue is real, it's urgent, and it's very serious.
And what does it do in terms of the fight against against ISIS? Does it undermine the Prime Minister's power and control and the US right to be concerned about the impact of this on any kind of concerted effort to stave off ISIS?
Yeah, well, indeed it does. But Mr. Abadi has not really been in control of the struggle against ISIS. The real drivers there have been two. On the one hand, the Peshmerga forces of the Kurds. On the other hand, the popular militias, which are a Shia organization, largely dominated by the major Shia group, the Badr Brigades and the Al-Hakim family. So in a way, for Mr. Abadi, the important thing is to make sure that this crisis in Damascus doesn't disrupt the activities of those paramilitary forces in confronting ISIS in the north. And the danger for the United States is that that's what will eventually happen, and that the momentum of the campaign against ISIS will be lost. That's why Mr. Biden is so concerned.
George Joffe, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
You're welcome.
George Joffe is Professor of International Studies at Cambridge University.